Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, Supreme Lord is equal to everyone, text number beginning with 22. Shri Bhadarayana Niravacha Rajastad Vacha Akarnya Nardo Bhagavan Rishi Tushtak Praha Tam Abhasya Shinvatyas Tat Sada Kata. Okay, I'm just going to read the translation because there's no purport. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, after hearing the request of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Narada Muni, the most powerful spiritual master, who knew everything, was very pleased, thus replied in the presence of everyone taking part in the yajna. Shri Narada Vacha Nindana Stava Satkara Nyakar Rartam Kalevaram Pradana Pariyo Rajan Avivekena Kalpitam. The great sage Narada said, O King, blasphemy and praise, chastisement and respect are experienced because of ignorance. The body of the conditioned soul is planned by the Lord for suffering in the material world through the agency of the external energy. Purport. And Bhagavad Gita is said, Ishvara sarabhutanam rideshe arjuna tishtati brahmanyan sarabhutani yantrudani maya. Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. A material body is manufactured by the external energy according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned soul, being seated on this machine, wanders throughout the universe because of his bodily conception of life. He only suffers. Actually, the suffering of beings blaspheming and the enjoyment of being praised. The acceptance of a good welcome or a chastisement by harsh words are felt by the material conception of life. But since the body of the Supreme Personality of God is not material, but Satchitananda Vigraha, he is unaffected by insults or greetings, blaspheming or prayers, being always unaffected and complete. He does not feel extra pleasure when offered nice prayers by the devotee, although the devotee benefits by offering prayers to the Lord. Indeed, the Lord is very kind to his so-called enemy, because one who always thinks of the personality of Godhead as an enemy also benefits, although he thinks of the Lord adversely. If a conditioned soul thinking of the Lord as an enemy or a friend somehow or another becomes attached to the Lord, he receives great benefit. According to the Bhagavad Gita, Anadidvam Nirgunadvat Paramatmayam Avyam Sharira Stopikuntiya Nakaroti Nanalipyate. Those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, and beyond the modes of material nature. In spite of contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. In other words, we're already transcendental, but our consciousness is now focused on the material energy, and therefore we suffer and enjoy according to the subtle body and according to the gross body's position in the material nature. But principally, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, Dumena Vriyate Vanira, Itardar Shomalena Cha, Ito Pinavrita Garbas, Tata Denedam Avritam. That just like the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, or the fire is covered by smoke, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. We don't see reality. We see reality through the lenses of the modes of material nature. And because of those conceptions, therefore, we're attached to the external energy. Our consciousness becomes merged into the material energy, and therefore we suffer and joy according to our bodily and mental situation. Dumena vriyate dumena vriyate vanira. It's just like fire is covered by smoke. So in the human form of life, it's possible to carefully handle the fire so that the smoke goes away and is only left with fire. So that's the process of sadhana bhakti, is to regulate the senses. Tasmat tvam indriyanya do niyamya bharatar shiva patmanam prajihiyenam jnana vijnana nashanam. Therefore, in the very beginning, Arjuna, regulate the senses and curb the desire. Tasmat tvam indriyanya do niyamya bharatar. Therefore, in the very beginning, regulate the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So by regulation, one can gradually become detached from material conceptions and desires. And that's the purpose of trying to get free from the material entanglement of becoming affected by our material experience. Now, that can only really happen if we factually become conscious of Krishna. If we change our consciousness from our material experience to our spiritual experience. Therefore, we're not only trying to become aloof from material existence, we're trying to become attached to the spiritual existence. In order to do that, we have to think about Krishna. As a matter of fact, we're advised, the whole process of sadhana bhakti, according to the Padma Purana, what's the whole process of sadhana bhakti summarized? According to Nectar of Devotion and... What's that? Yeah, Saratam, Smarta Vyak Saratam Vishnu. Sarva Vidi Nisedya Asyur Etayor Eva Kinkara. That all the rules and regulations are simply meant to help us, Smarta Vyak Saratam Vishnu, always remember Krishna or Vishnu. Vismartak, and never forget him at any time. Sarvavidhi, all the things that we're supposed to do, and Nisaja, all the things we're not supposed to do, are all summarized in these two instructions. To always remember Krishna and never forget him. And then we can actually become aloof from the material nature. Not that material nature, necessarily all the reactions will stop. As long as we have a material body, that means there's going to be actions and reactions. Therefore, when Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the symptom of a person who is situated in transcendence? So Krishna's response was, what's the first word of that response? Do we have a Bhagavad Gita? Well, I guess I have a Bhagavad Gita, pocket-sized Bhagavad Gita. Change my language. Sorry, I'll use this speed Bhagavad Gita. It's chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita, text number 22-25. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Prakasham Cha Pravritim Cha Moham Eva Cha Pandava Nivritinam. Shanti, let's start off again. Prakasham cha navritim cha moham eva cha pandava nedveshti sampratitani ninivritani kankshiti udasinadvarasino gunano yovani chalyate gunavatarti ikevam yovatishtiti nengate samadukha sukham swasta samalostrasma kankshina tulya priyapriyodiras tulya nindatma samsuti Manapamaniyo tulyas tulyanendatma samstayo sarva ramba prityagi gunati taksa uchate. So in case someone doesn't know the Sanskrit. Prakasham means illumination. Prakasham cha naritim cha means attachment. Prakasham cha pravritim cha moham eva cha pandava. And one who's an illusion, mode of ignorance. Nivriti, prakasham cha navritim cha moham eva cha pandava navriti sampratishtani nivritani kangshiti. So one who's not attached when he, or laments or whatever, becomes disturbed when he obtains illumination or attachment or illusion. And he doesn't become elated when he attains these things either. Remains aloof from all these reactions of the most material nature. Who looks upon some mud, lostra, pebbles, gold, all with an equal eye. Who looks upon friends and enemies, those who are envious and pious, etc. Then he's said to have transcended the most material, equally, he's said to have transcended the most material nature. In other words, we're living in a dream. And due to our false ego, we actually think that this dream is real. It's real. It's a real dream, that's all. But it's just only a dream, because it's simply the combinations and the permutations of the gross and subtle elements arranging according to our karma and according to Krishna's arrangement, so that we get a certain type of experience, a material experience. Now, if we wanted to make it into a spiritual experience, that's our only choice. We're not going to change our material circumstance, but either we can experience it as material experience, or we can experience it as a spiritual experience. That's our choice. In order to experience it as something spiritual, we have to add Krishna. Then we'll become on the same level as Krishna. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityayatam brahma bhuyayu kalpate. As much as we become steadily engaged in Krishna's service with devotion, then to that extent we can focus our consciousness upon Krishna. That to that extent Krishna will reveal himself and we can focus our consciousness on him, and therefore we won't be disturbed or elated by our different material circumstances. As a matter of fact, that one who's engaged in devotional service will eventually see that one is simply an instrument for Krishna, serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Krishna is using one as an instrument in his service. And therefore, whatever is happening is all by Krishna's arrangement. But that takes practice. The problem is that we put our energy into Krishna consciousness, especially hopefully during sadhana bhakti, and we become a little bit aloof from our material conceptions and our material experience, and then we stop. And then we get back to our normal, overwhelmed by our material minds and desires and senses, and we start acting as if we're part of the material nature again. So it's like putting the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then you take it out and you put it in ice water, and you're wondering, why am I not getting in the fire of Krishna consciousness? Why is it sometimes I'm elated, which is called utsahamayi? We become puffed up with enthusiasm. As soon as we get a little absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we think we're a great elevated Mahabhagavats that everyone should surrender to for their own benefit out of my causeless mercy. And as soon as we become disturbed by the material existence, then it's called Gana Tarala, alternating thick and thin. Suddenly we become from a great Mahabhagavat to the demon, to a devil with two little horns and a tail that we're trying to hide from our devotees. So this is part of sadhana bhakti, that sometimes in heaven, sometimes in hell, sometimes in Vaikuntha, sometimes in Yamaloka. And there's a process to getting free from that, and it's systematic. Vishai Sangara, Viyuda Vikalpa, Akshama, Ayama Akshama, and Taranga Rangini. To gradually get free from our conception that we have to detach ourselves from material existence to make progress, rather than attach ourselves to Krishna, or to fight our material desires alternating between renunciation and sense gratification. and then trying to become steady in sadhana, but not realizing that the whole secret of success is simply to always remember Krishna and never forget him. In other words, we progress along the path, the more we just take shelter of Krishna. By our own teeny endeavors to become aloof from the material nature, or even attached to the spiritual nature, or will it simply be a waste of time? Unless we take shelter and become dependent upon Krishna. And dependent upon Krishna means to be dependent upon his instructions coming down into simple succession. Of course, we can pray to Krishna for help, but unless we know what kind of help we want, we may not be able to achieve anything very valuable. If we simply pray to Krishna, help, I'm suffering, then Krishna may take care of it. Immediately our suffering may diminish, and we may learn to focus our minds because we're suffering. And then when we're not suffering anymore, then bye-bye Krishna. So we should know what we want. When Prabhupada was on the train, and some Indian gentleman, Prabhupada was with his sannyas disciples, and some Indian gentleman wanted to get into the same train compartment because they wanted some blessings from Prabhupada. So they caught Prabhupada's eyes, and Prabhupada invited them to come in, as is the etiquette. So Swamiji said, Prabhupada said, yes, what can I help you? They said, Swamiji, we want your ashabad. We want your blessings. So what blessings would you like? One man said, well, my daughter, she's not married, and I need some money for the wedding, and it's very expensive. I need your blessings. Another man said, Swamiji, I have this wart on my toe. It won't go away. I need your blessings. So Prabhupada pointed to the sannyas dhoti of his disciple, sannyas disciple, and said, well, these are my blessings. And the men, they folded their hands and said, Swamiji, it's getting late. I think we should come back later for your blessings. Hare Krishna. And they were gone. So we should know what kind of blessings we want, what we're asking Krishna for. We should become conscious of it. And then if we become conscious of actually becoming conscious of Krishna, remembering Krishna out of the process, and the process is, first of all, to accept that everything here belongs to Krishna. To become conscious of Krishna and maintain our attitude as being the proprietor and the enjoyer of the material nature will not be very fruitful, will not be very helpful. We may think about Krishna, but we won't think about Krishna with any kind of devotion. Matter of fact, we'll think, oh, there's Krishna and there's me, and I have my gopis and he has his. We should be friends. Maybe we can share gopis or something. So one has to become conscious of the fact that Krishna is the proprietor of everyone and everything, and nothing belongs to us. Then, a little bit more serious, then we start inquiring, so what would Krishna want me to do with his energy? If we become honest and accept the fact that Krishna is the proprietor and give up our thieving mentality, trying to steal from Krishna, then the result is that we should inquire, well, how can I properly, honestly utilize Krishna's resources? So Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is there, especially Guru and Sadhu, we can find out from Krishna and Bhagavad Gita what he wants us to do with his energy, as well as from his representatives. And if we do it to please him, we have no other objective than to please Krishna, then the result is that we'll think about Krishna in devotion, and we'll become conscious of Krishna. And the result of becoming conscious of Krishna is that our false ego will diminish, our material conceptions will diminish, our spiritual intelligence will awaken, and the result is that we'll live in the spiritual world rather than the material one, that our existence will change from matter to spirit. But that's our choice, whether we want to do that. If we think, well, the material world is not so bad, coronavirus will only last for a few months maybe, then I can get back to my normal state of, you know, my God plan. How I'm going to acquire so much material things here. I'm going to make a success out of this life. Every day we'll have the best prasadam, and everything will just smooth sail smoothly, and by that time they should have invented some pill, and I'll take it, and I'll live forever as the supreme enjoyer. Simply every day the bank balance will increase, the surrender of my devotees will increase, my health will increase, my youth will increase, everything will increase forever. And therefore, why should I bother chanting Hare Krishna with any kind of sincerity? Because Krishna may take away all my opulence. He may even take away my devotees. Who knows what he's going to take away? We heard he's quite greedy. Therefore, without giving up the material conception of life, then we have to stay in the material conception of life, the material existence, and we have to suffer. And that's what it says here. There is no enjoyment. There's only suffering. In the absence of suffering, we call that enjoyment. And when the suffering increases, then we say we're suffering. And when it diminishes slightly, we say we're enjoying. But if we don't give up our material conception of life, then we have to continue on with our material existence and all the different varieties of suffering. And if we accept the process of devotional service, then as Krishna is aloof from material existence, as Krishna's devotees are aloof from material existence, but are enjoying the spiritual existence of bliss, knowledge, eternally, then the result is that we'll also enter into the same level of experience. As Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, it's simply a question of giving up lust and greed and anger. And by controlling the senses, regulating them in devotional service, come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, where we can always experience the unlimited happiness of Krishna and his devotees. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? And in order to do that, we have to act on the liberated platform. If we want to be liberated, we have to act on the liberated platform. So if we don't know what the liberated platform, how to act on the liberated platform, then we should study Nectar of Instruction. Because as soon as we stop acting on the liberated platform, we're acting on the conditioned platform. So there's no other business for the devotee other than to love Krishna and serve Krishna. And in service to Krishna, we also cooperate with his devotees to please Krishna. And that mission of Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to help everyone, especially the innocent, make advancement in Krishna consciousness and to defeat the atheistic propaganda that Krishna doesn't exist and that the aim of life is simply to enjoy the material senses. The aim of life is to enter into the platform of spiritual bliss in Krishna consciousness. Any questions or comments? Yes.
How, Hare Krishna, if someone is very materialistic, they will perceive our preaching as just imposing rules for controlling them. So what would be our strategy for giving everybody some spiritual experience and attracting people to Krishna consciousness for some spiritual goal, to help people even who are materialistic to gain some spiritual desires?
Give them as much prasadam as possible. Let them become at least devotees of prasadam. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.